And I trust that as we go through this, that we're infusing into our lives what that does mean, that we will become a people of prayer. I also wonder, you know, as we're going through this, it is very easy for me, here's confession time. It's very easy for me to read a book and say, okay, I've got that, learned that, tick it off, and then move on to the next thing. And I, you know, if that's what we do, that would be really a bad failure, because the intent of this is that our lives will become this, right? So from day to day, we will live the way that we're taught rather than say, yep, learned that, got my diploma. So no diplomas at the end of this 18-week series. The theme of this, the two chapters that we're on chapters 3 and 4. So I'll ask the poll, how many people have read chapters 3 and 4 of A Praying Life?
Or listen to it,
yes. Read with your eyes or listened online of the recording. This is lesson 2. Both sounds come across the same, chapters 3 and 4. The theme of chapters 3 and 4, the theme of the section of the book that we're addressing is to come to the Father as a child. So how do we develop a childlike relationship with the Father? What is unique about this? You know, everybody has had a father. Many people have had a father who have doted on them. Many people who have had an abusive father. Many people have never known their father. What is unique is that God calls us each to be his child, and he will be a loving, doting father to, you know, 8 billion people alive today. He can handle 8 billion people. So the offer that is out there, you know, let's seize that offer. It doesn't get better than this. I also thought we're talking about childlike faith. Not having left my book at my desk, I believe that that's the word that is used. I thought that there was a contrasting word, childish. So thinking about this, I think that we want to be childlike, but we're also to mature. So I think one of the questions to get straight is, how should we mature in our faith and yet maintain the good childlike characteristics and yet put away other childish things? So just play on words a little bit, but I think that's something that's worth pondering as we continue through. So here's a few. I think I've got, I've got a reference for that. C.S. Lewis, I read somewhere, pretty sure it was about C.S. Lewis, that what people saw unique in him is his ability, even as a old adult, to be in awe, to get excited, to be able to see the magic in the wardrobe. You know, it's easy for us as we mature to become grim. Our hair gets gray, and our lives can get gray. You know, let's keep the good characteristics of childlikeness. Four characteristics that I want to point out, and then we'll go into discussion. So the first one is no pretense. When we approach the Father, approach him as we really are. Which is not easy. We like to put on. If I'm struggling with something, I don't want you to see that. I want to come on with my good facade. I want you to think that I'm a nice person. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I do things that aren't nice. When we approach the Father, we need to come to him as we really are, without pretending to be something else. If I'm in a state, I need to come in that state to him. Now, the only you can't come in a contradiction in terms. you know, we talk about people like to, we like, as a society, one of the things that our society worships right now is tolerance. We all want everybody to be tolerant, except we're not tolerant of intolerant people. For come as you are, if you're coming as a hypocrite, don't come as a hypocrite. That's the only thing you can't be. Fix your being a hypocrite. Take away the hypocrisy, and then you'll come as you really are. A corollary to that, I think I used the American pronunciation correctly, or a corollary to that, if that was the way we say it here, is to come messy. Jesus never says, and when we talk to people, we want people to be saved, we never say, fix your life, and then you can come and be saved. We always say, come as you are, come just as you are, and he will save you, and then he will fix you. We were in Bible study today looking at the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15, and the shepherd goes and he picks up the sheep out in the ravines wherever it was and puts them on his shoulder and he rejoices, and then he goes back and cleans up the sheep and gets over the course of time, does all the work to get the sheep restored. As we're praying, if your life's a mess, don't say, I've got to fix my life before I can pray. I've got to fix my abilities so before I can pray. If I don't know how to pray right, well, just start talking to God. Come as you are. Come messy. But come ready to be changed. Right? So we're to be childlike, but not childish. Come expecting to be transformed. Don't come trying to be transformed before you come. When your mind wanders, as Doug prayed about, I take a little bit of exception to how Paul Miller described St. Paul's writings, as he talks about, so our book talked about St. Paul as having ADD and kind of going all over the place. I think that St. Paul was writing as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit, because that's what 2 Peter tells us. So we, and yet he does go wherever the Spirit was leading him. He went here and then there and then there. He doesn't come in with a systematic theology. None of the books of the New Testament are well-organized systematic theologies. They display a wandering characteristic. And if our mind, if we're focused on the Lord and our mind wanders a bit, keep that wondering in the presence of the Lord. So if I'm all of a sudden concerned about, I don't know, that I forgot to lock the gate, I can pray about, Lord, the gate, I forgot to lock the gate. Rather than exiting prayer, let me keep that, you know, remain in prayer. With the expectation that the Holy Spirit will nudge us in prayer like the Holy Spirit carried along the authors. Our thoughts are not inspired scripture, but our thoughts are subject to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by all means. And when you are praying, pray for what's on your mind. So if you imagine the kid that wanted ice cream, Mommy, if Denise was my mom, I'd say, oh, Mommy, can I have some ice cream, please, please, please? She might say no. But I'd say, oh, please, 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 Mommy, can I have some ice cream, please? And she kept on saying no. I can pray, knowing she's a good mother, I can pray in the expectation that she's going to eventually give me what it is, if it's a good thing. And I also know, I think that kids know this, I wonder, that when our mothers don't give us what we ask for, or when our fathers don't give us what we ask for, that's really because they have our best at stake. We know that with the Holy Father, that sometimes we ask for something and he doesn't give it to us. Sometimes later we say, man, God, thank you for not having given me that. We don't always see it. But because we know he's good, I don't have to worry about, is it mommy's will for me to have ice cream now before I ask? I can just ask. I shouldn't say, she said no, I'm going to sneak around and take it out of the fridge and have it anyway.
Or go ask dad.
Should not. Things that one must not do. The good thing about when you're praying to the Father, there's no discrepancy between the persons of the Holy Spirit, sorry, the persons of the Trinity. So you can ask the Holy Spirit, you can ask Jesus, you can ask the Father. One of them's not going to say, yeah, go ahead and have the ice cream, when the other one said no. But obviously, we should, as we grow, as we mature, we need to know the will of God's will for our lives. We need to learn who He is. We need to grow into Christ-likeness. But don't let that stop you. So if you have, so we prayed rather intensely for Scott today in Bible study. Where is it? There you are. Scott's not doing well health-wise, so we prayed. Will God heal him? I hope so. If God chooses not to, that's his prerogative. I know that he's going to do what's best. But we're going to keep on praying, looking for God to heal him. As we mature, don't lose those qualities. Come without pretense. Come messy. Pray what's on your mind. And come asking for what's on your mind. Because it's the Father we're coming to. It's our Father. It's your Father that you're coming to. There was a theologian, what was her name? Ada Lindemann, who was a student of Rudolf Bultmann. I might have gotten first name and back name mixed up, but she was a student of a liberal Lutheran theologian who didn't believe in the existence of God, essentially. So she wrote all kinds of works about how the Bible doesn't make sense, this is contradictory, cut out this part, this part's probably true, this part you can listen to. And later, she was saved. And she'd go back and she'd see the same text. And it was so different to her. And somebody asked her, so what changed? She said, because I'm a child of God now. Where we approach him, yes, there is philosophical truth. Yes, there is ontological truth. There is epistemological truth. But he's our Father. Approach him that way.
And so, like Tom mentioned this evening, it's about becoming like a child. And what does the implication of that look like for us? And I think probably more than anything, as I've been reading this idea about being honest in prayer, because God already knows. So when we're hee-hawing around about praying around something, really what is going on in your head is a real issue. So we just need to blurt out whatever it is. God already sees it. God already knows it. And yes, is it going to show our weakness or our vulnerability in our life? Yes, it probably will, but that's what we need to do. We need to get that out into the light. So like Tom said, we need to come to who? We need to come to our Father who is in heaven. So here's the first question for us tonight. So we've talked about, Tom brought out the idea of becoming like a child. In what ways, here's the question, in what ways does Jesus want us to become like little children? And he made the difference between childish, which was good. In what ways does Jesus want us to become like little children? And if somebody's there, you're taking notes, you might want to write it down because we're going to have conversation and discussion after the question. So go ahead and start the conversation around your tables, and in about 10 minutes, we'll get back together, and we will talk about that. All right. Let's come together, and we're going to talk about this just for a few minutes, and then I got a second question that I'd like for you guys to discuss around your tables. So just table by table, maybe I'll go there. And just if you could give me maybe the maybe one or two of the main things that you guys talked about with this question, which was, in what ways does Jesus want us to become like little children? And then what we're going to do is we're going to talk about that in relation to prayer. But just the idea about becoming little children. How about back at that table? Just followed him out of the boat. Okay. Trusting. Tony, what about your table? Praying without understanding. Intentional. Talk to me about being intentional. Oh, that's fine. We'll jump into that. Aaron, what about your table? Okay, so that was your big thing, unfiltered?
Unfiltered and intimate.
And intimate?
The conversation between family members.
Okay. What about your table?
We talked about speaking what is in your mind and in your heart and being persistent, basically, like children.
Here, but let's mention simple and curious. Those are a couple things. Simple. That's at another table.
Thought. You know, there is this, we're to become like little children, and at the same time, we understand that we're supposed to grow and mature in the faith, correct? So I want you to keep that in mind, because that's going to be a part of our next question, but looking through each of these and putting it in the perspective of prayer, childlikeness concerning prayer. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about that as far as trusting? Coming as a child, coming to God, how's that, what comes to your mind first when we look at this word to be able to be trusting? Believing. You're going to get an answer. And why are you going to get an answer? Because he's there, because he's listening, he hears us, he knows us, he loves us, he is who? He's faithful, and that doesn't come instantly, but it does come, right? Faithfulness, we see the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of God does come. So when we think about this as far as being honest in praying, what comes to your mind? He already knows what we're thinking. I can remember praying for somebody, just saying, oh, Lord, I pray you'd bless him. And the Holy Spirit just told me, no, you'd just soon that he got run over by a truck. Let's be honest. Go ahead, Doug. Transparency. Okay. And why is it hard sometimes to be honest in prayer? You don't want him to know what you're thinking. Vulnerable. It's hard to be honest. But honesty does what? It brings us, you know, it brings it out of the darkness, so to speak. I mean, for the most part, God's just trying to get you to say it, no matter how hard it is, no matter what it is, so they can go, okay, now, we're not hiding behind anything. This is the issue. Now let's talk about the issue, right? Any other thoughts about that? Okay, when you're honest, God sees the intentions of your heart. So unfiltered, would that kind of fall along the same thing, or would it be, any thoughts about that, Darcy? Okay, that's interesting. We sometimes won't want to ask God for stuff because we already know we're not where we need to be. And
sometimes as adults, we organize our thoughts. We get real nice, tidy, and organized and clean and perfect. And then we go, all right, now it's time to pray. I say, no, you already prayed. You put everything in order. You didn't need to do that. Just unfiltered, just say what's in your heart.
You ever notice that when you really have an issue, but you categorize your thoughts and come to the Father in a particular way, and you got your agenda, the Holy Spirit's going,
right.
You're not that, yeah, I like that card.
Right, because we
Corbin,
organize.
Are you a pro at that or what?
We organize stuff so that the realness is kind of in the background, and it's like the sixth or seventh or eighth thing we're going to talk about in our prayer, you know, when it's really the number one thing. It's the thing that the whole thing revolves around. So I was like, instead of, I don't want to say being fake, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, am I the only one that does that? Maybe not.
Sound
yeah,
Doug.
It's just being honest.
I'll just say a good example of that is when I share with my wife my unfiltered feelings, our relationship actually becomes better.
Not right off the bat.
No, not right off the bat. It might be hard to, something might be hard to hear.
Yeah.
You know, when she shares with me, some of that is very hard to hear.
And hard to say.
And hard to say, but it really gets to the focus of a relationship with one another, and that's what we're trying to do, right? Is grow the relationship with our Father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a real good analogy because I know for like Denise and I mean, I'm saying what I know what I'm saying, but my words, they're not necessarily translating, right? And so she's hearing me a particular way, and that's relationship with the Lord as we are talking, as we are communicating, you know, the hear back is a little, takes a little longer. But if I love my wife and my wife loves me, there's one thing we want to do. We want to resolve. Okay, we don't want to, there's a lot of ways we can go about, but the end result is we want to resolve. And in the same way, this is with the Lord that he wants this to resolve. He wants us to know him and understand that he knows us.
Okay, which, so I'm going to piggyback on what you guys were just saying, because we haven't really talked about it at all, but it's a two-way conversation, right? If one of you was just the wall, and I was going to have unfiltered thoughts at the wall, and I wasn't going to listen back, it doesn't do any good, right? I mean, prayer is, everything we're saying is about what we're saying, but we also need to be listening.
Yes, and so how do we listen back? How do you listen back? I'm going to ask your wife first. How do you listen back to God? How do you listen back? To be still.
Just be still. Be still and know that he's God. And I don't know. I mean, that's tricky. I would say a lot of times when I know God's talking to me, I know it wasn't me that came up with the idea, you know, because something comes through your head and you're like, that definitely wasn't me, you know. But just being still, giving him some space. You know, in the world that we live in now, give him a little space, and because, like, you don't have to have the worship music on, you know, don't have to have your Bible open, you don't have to be writing down the answer to the question, but you got to give him a little bit of space, you know, and in our busy worlds, we don't do that. And I was thinking, too, like, we want to resolve, but I almost think a better word would be just connect. Because we don't always resolve. You know, we don't always walk away from our prayer life with a resolution, but we walk away with a connection.
That's good. I like that. Doug, what'd you have?
Yeah, I was just going to piggyback on what my brother said. Many times, you know, he said it's a two-way communication. Yeah, I've tried the one-way communication where she just talks, and I just go, yeah, I'm not hearing it. That doesn't work well at all, right? It's the same thing with the relationship building with the Lord.
Okay.
What Holly just said, if he says something to you, you know, respond, right? How do you respond? This is my feelings on that, or this is my whatever on that. I you know, that one of the great things the book talked about was when you run into an old friend, your conversations can be about 8,500 different things, right? Well, when you run into the Father, why not? Mm-hmm. It's not wandering. It's you have a relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to Dad. Hey, Dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was at Darcy's table, and she made comment about when you sit at the table, your conversations go a million different directions. But did you have something to say?
Yeah. So I was going to say the opposite of Holly. Sorry, Holly. Sometimes there's power in turning on worship or opening your Bible, because he will use lyrics or his word to speak back to us. And so when we have it open, or when we're consistently in the word, he uses it, and then he'll use it again throughout the day, and he'll use it again. He'll just reiterate the same scripture, you know, and you're like, oh, that was confirmation that this is what you're trying to say to me, Lord.
Well, that's the space. Tony, did you have some?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Love what I've been hearing here. And I just want to just quote again something from the author, because I think it relates to a lot of the things that have been said here. And, of course, let me put my light here since I don't have my glasses, so I can see better. So this is what he says in short, but I want to pinpoint to you what really moves my heart. He goes, so instead of being frozen by your self-preoccupation, that's on page 21. So instead of being frozen by your self-preoccupation, talk with God about your worries. Tell him where you're weary. If you don't, this is a part, if you don't begin with where you are, then where you are will sneak in the back door. When I read that, it just moved me, because it does something it just did something to me. You know what I'm saying? And of course, then he says, your mind will wander to where you are weary. Anyway, just wanted to share.
Okay. All right, I got your next question. And we're going to give you a little instruction here. That's right, I'm going to give instruction. Give it to Candy, yeah. Hey, your table leader split on you there. Where'd Paul go? Okay, so I made comment that, so there is this, that we're supposed to be like little children, and at the same time, we're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Paul said, you know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, and now I've put away childish things and have become mature. And this is what I am aiming at. So there is all that. But let's take and write, just try to come to an agreement at your table and come up with something as a table that you really grab a hold of most about this question. In growing up in our faith, what do you think are the never-changing truths about being a child of God that we should continue to embrace? So we know that we're supposed to grow up, but yet we're supposed to be little children. What is that overwhelming truth about being a child of God that we should never let go of, that we should continue to embrace? No matter how old we are, we continue to embrace. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give us about 5 minutes, and then we're going to talk to each table and see what you come up with. All right, well, let's see what kind of answers you've come up with. So let's start with Alexandra. So let's see, where's that mic at, Tom, that other mic? I'm going to start with Alexandra. So in growing up your faith, what do you think are the never-changing truths about being a child of God that we should continue to embrace?
Acknowledging that God, our Father, never changes, and that makes a functional family.
Okay. So remembering He never changes. All right. So because of that, we're going to continue to go to Him. What about your table back there, Aaron?
Okay, wait. I'm reading the question again. What do you think of the never changing?
Wait, are you good?
We're good. The never changing truths about God is that He loves us and He wants the best for us, no matter what. That doesn't ever change. So when He's not giving us something, we can hold on to that it is for our best.
So what would your table, what would you say would that be? What is that big truth?
The
big
truth?
Anybody at the table. What is the big truth that you shouldn't let go of?
that he loves us and okay. And wants the best for us.
I didn't hear that.
No, Harrison even mentioned that sometimes that could include chastisement or trial, but in the end result is our betterment, our more Christ-likeness.
Yeah, isn't that interesting when, you know, you grow up, you're under your parents' authority when you get out, you get this really wrong, especially as a believer, you get out from under it and you think, okay, well, I'm not going to have to answer to anybody anymore. I'm not going to get in trouble anymore. Yeah, that's doesn't work that way. What about this table over here, Paul?
The focus changes a little bit from when we're children, we're just asking what we want.
Uh-huh.
And now we're changing the focus a little bit to find out what He wants for us.
Okay, so really is we are God's children, the thing that we shouldn't let go of, that we should continue to embrace, is His will for our lives? I'm asking. Would you say maybe?
We keep seeking, but we want it to be within what He wants for us.
Okay. And then, let's see, Did we do Candy's table? No, let's do it. Candy, stand up on your chair and talk.
No, I'm not going to. Our main thing was, he's the Father and he calls us his child. And we just need to remember, he's the Father, we're the children.
Okay, and the last table there. Go ahead, Sid.
Well, that keep on that relationship. That relationship that is like you keep going. Like if you have never cease on praying. But that is the relationship that you have, is talking to him.
Okay.
Never stop.
Okay. All right. Any other comments about any of this so far?
It was said on this table, never stop knowing him, which is what C just said. And I was just saying that when we do that, then we will know that he wants the best for us. Then we will know not to question God, although we can. I'm not saying we couldn't, but we can. But usually we don't if we really do not stop knowing him, then we will trust him. If we really never stop knowing him, then we will recognize that he's the Almighty. If we never stop knowing him, then we'll believe in his presence.
Yeah, somewhere along the line as a child and growing up as a child, you do learn to trust the word of your father. And I know as human dads, that's tricky, but remember the analogy said, look, if your children ask for a good gift, you're not going to give them something else. You're going to, and I'm your creator God. I'm your father. So I will give you good gifts. I'll give you what is good. So I think the idea is that what we need to do is we just need to, as his children, he's the source. We're not going to get old enough to figure this out on our own and not need him. We don't learn enough to have it so that we're good to go. So we need to keep coming, we need to keep asking, we need to keep believing that you are his child and he is your father. And I think sometimes we do forget that. We can say, listen, I already know when I did stuff wrong, and I knew my dad knew. And sometimes my dad waited till I came to him. Because I'm going to have to get to him sooner or later because I'm going to need something. So even when we don't want to, it's what we need to do. And he's good with, for me, to say, listen, I'm telling you right now, I don't like it. I don't want to do it. Matter of fact, I don't even want you to make me do it. Matter of fact, I'm going to go the other way, and I just blah, 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 get it all out. And while I'm getting it all out, in my back of my mind, I already know that that's not the way it's going to be. I know that eventually I'm going to have to say, Uncle, eventually I'm going to have to yield. And I'm going to need to discern to the will of the Father because my heart is to want to honor him for his blessing in my life so that, you know. All right, so here's what I want us to do. At each of your tables, what do you think is the biggest thing that you struggle with about being a child? If I were to ask briefly, Holly, what is the biggest thing you struggle with about being a child in prayer and coming to the Father? Just real brief. Got something? Is it honesty? Is it vulnerability? Is it lack of trust because you don't know if he'll give you what you want?
Lack of trust.
Lack of trust? Yeah. Okay. What about this table? What is one thing that is difficult for you? Impatient. What is one thing that is difficult for you?
Remembering that it's not all about me.
That's good.
So the book says, many Christians pray mechanically for God's kingdom, missionaries, a church, and so on. But all the while, their lives are wrapped up in their own kingdoms. You can't add God's kingdom as an overlay to your own.
What about this one, this table? What is that thing that is difficult? What is the hardest thing?
You can just say what she said.
Is it honesty coming to him, just spilling your guts? Is it lack of trust? Is it fear?
It would have to be like honesty because, you know, you're trying to go to him and he already knows.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about this table? What is the one thing? What's one thing?
When God says no, accept it.
When God says no, accept it. There you go. That's tricky. All right. Here's what I want to do. Doug's, I think, you're going to close with a song?
Sure.
Here's what I want to do. I just want us to, someone at the table, just pick it up and ask the Lord, pray for your table, ask the Lord to help you in this area about becoming a child, whatever comes to mind. So just pick somebody from this table. Just pick somebody from the table and just pray that prayer, and then we're going to close. And when we close in the song, then we're going to pray for Tony's mom.